flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You all know my motto. I do not wait for anybody to clap for me. I clap for myself in real time. Why? Because if I wait for somebody to shine a spotlight on my accomplishments, it may never happen. At my house, the word Katherine Johnson is not a noun. It's a verb. And I tell people all the time, you don't get to Katherine Johnson me. And they're like, what do you mean? What do you mean Katherine Johnson you? Katherine Johnson was a brilliant NASA scientist who single-handedly saved the Apollo 13 space mission. And in real time, nobody congratulated her. They didn't put up any kind of plaques or statues. She didn't get any kind of recognition or honor for that. And 47 years later, they made the movie Hidden Figures and showed us the pivotal and instrumental role that not just Katherine Johnson, but a group of black female mathematicians played at NASA. As hard as they work to get black women and black children in STEM, imagine how many more would be there if we had known that a Katherine Johnson existed. Why did it take 40 years for them to acknowledge her? And once the movie came out, she's got a statue at NASA. She's got a plaque. She's got the Presidential Medal of Freedom. She got one foot on a banana peel and the other one headed out the door because she was damn near 100 years old when they recognized her accomplishments. So I'm never going to wait for y'all to clap for me. I'm going to always clap and brag about and show out and shine a spotlight on not just my accomplishments, but any of the accomplishments of black women, because too oftentimes our contributions to this country get overlooked. And so I'm so excited about the movie that Tyler Perry has coming out right now. It is on Netflix. It is called The 6888. And I don't know if you all know this, but let me give you a little history lesson. During World War II, 855 women joined the fight to fix the 3-year backlog of undelivered mail. Faced with discrimination and a country devastated by war, they managed to sort more than 17 million pieces of mail ahead of time. Tyler Perry, Oprah Winfrey, Kerry Washington, so many other people are in this amazing Netflix movie. And I'm sure it's going to get all kinds of cool awards. And it's sad that all these years later, we're just finding out about the 6888. Well, most of you are. I found out about them a couple years ago. Because my daughter Cameron bought a book written by a local author, Dr. Artika Tyner, about the 6888. And she starts giving me this history lesson, and she starts telling me about the 6888. And I'm like, girl, what are you talking about? And she was like, Mama, it's this book that I picked up. We were at a book fair. I think Crown Shepherd was selling them at the farmer's market. And she saw these beautiful black female soldiers on the cover of the book. And she bought it with her own money, came home and was reading it. And that's how I got educated about the 6888. Why does it take so long? Why does it take so long to acknowledge the accomplishments of black women in this country? And I'm just so grateful that we didn't have to wait for the Tyler Perry documentary to come out, because Dr. Artika Tyner had already written a book about the 6888 for our children, so they would grow up knowing the legacy and the history of these amazing African-American women. And speaking of amazing African-American women, Dr. Artika Tyner is joining us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Baker Hotline. Dr. Tyner, thank you so much for being here and for writing this book.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here with you today.
Now, I'm sorry. I went through college. I went through high school. I went through all kinds of other schools, and I'd never heard about the 6888. Dr. Tyner, I know that you are an educator. You are a professor. How did you come upon this story, and what made you decide to write a children's book about it before this whole Tyler Perry movie came out?
I actually was invited to write this book, because many of the folks in the publishing industry know that I'm committed to writing books about black history. Over 40 books strong now, I try to tell those stories of the unsung heroes and sheroes that have shaped our history in meaningful ways. So I got a call and was like, would you be willing to write a book about a group of women who changed the course of World War II? I said, say no more, consider it done. But I had to ask, who are they? And they said the 6888. And after that, I got going, started doing research, started connecting with folks that study military history, and literally my life was transformed.
This is a story of the all-black female battalion of World War II by Dr. Artika Tyner, illustrated by Cynthia Paul, the courageous 6888. I don't know what I love more about this book, Dr. Tyner. It is either your storytelling and your writing, or the amazing images that are in here. The illustrator put her whole foot and a couple of pinky toes in this story. Talk to me about this children's book and how you break down this story, this very complicated, this very, this is a Tyler Perry took a while to tell it in a movie, but you broke it down in a children's book that my daughter, Cameron, with autism, was able to understand and find pride in. How did you do that?
It was truly a labor of love. I knew one thing with certainty. I owed this book to the 6888. I mean, I still continue with my day-to-day life, but at night when I had the chance, missed some plenty of nights of sleep, I wanted to learn everything about them. Because as a black woman, I recognize what you were saying about those Katherine Johnson moments, that I have to first give applause to myself and open up the doors and windows of opportunities for other black women. We are standing and sitting in plain sight, changing the world, changing the anchor of history from the past to the present to the future, but very rarely recognized. So I knew I owed this to them. I said, oh, Major Charity Adams, who later became Lieutenant Colonel Adams, I owed it to tell her story. You have Lena King, I owed them. So when I think about how this transpired into a book, it was a debt that America owed these women who decided to courageously take a stand by just enlisting in the Army and doing something that very few women even had a chance to do by then, to go overseas and fight the war in their unique way by organizing the mail system.
My God. And my daughter got so much pride reading this book. She bought it with her own money, just seeing the images of these African-American women and the accomplishments that they had and how they contributed to our country in World War II, names not recognized in school. Dr. Tyner, I don't know how many degrees you got and you didn't even know about them. How can we ever get to a point where society begins to recognize and shine a spotlight on the accomplishments of Black women, why do we have to wait, you know, all these years later? Your book came out in 2022 and the 6888 was a part of World War II. And I don't think I've ever seen any space where they've been recognized in before I read your book. And then here we come with the movie all these years later, where they're not here to be able to see themselves as appreciated.
I agree. It will continue to be a challenge for each and every one of us to be able to ensure that we're telling the stories of women who did something that looked impossible. But by God's grace, by courage, by strength, by unity, 17 million parcels of mail, all they said it would take 6 months. They delivered the way Black excellence always shows up and finished in less than 3 months. So when I think about this, this is just a challenge to each and every one of us to ensure that we're not only looking to the past, but we're also looking ahead to the future to acknowledge those who are doing the work, making the commitment to make America a place where justice and freedom reigns supreme.
And I am so grateful to you. We talked about this book when it came out. We are talking about it again because of Tyler Perry's movie on Netflix, The 6888, featuring Kerry Washington and Oprah Winfrey. But this book is right here, written by a local author. A lot of you out there have African-American granddaughters, nieces and nephews. Teachers need to make sure that this book is in their classrooms as the movie is out on Netflix. It could be a teaching tool and a learning opportunity. Dr. Tina, please tell us where folks can get a copy of this book. I know that it's everywhere books are sold, but you may have a special place where you want people to buy this book from, and I want to make sure that we pass that along to our listeners.
Please make your book purchase on our online store. It is ppgjbooks.com. That's ppgjbooks.com. That's Planting People, Growing Justice. That way, with each book purchase, we donate a book to a child in the community. So you'll have a direct impact with your purchase on our website. You are correct. You can also buy it at any of the national retailers or bookstores, but we want to make sure that we're supporting local. You can pick up your copy at Strive Bookstore as well in downtown Minneapolis or from Crown Shepherd. But really, my aim related to you getting a copy of this book is to see how everyday people, ordinary people, had an extraordinary impact, that they wouldn't give up and that they were committed to creating change, even when their change was not acknowledged.
And that happens so oftentimes, and we still do the job because we love this country, and we want to make it better for the next generation, taking in the insults and the discrimination and the setbacks, and still going out there and doing an amazing job, and then just picking up the pieces and going to do the next amazing job, whether we get the credit or not, which is why I wanted to shine a spotlight on you, Dr. Tyner, to make sure that people knew ahead of Tyler Perry, ahead of Netflix, ahead of your time, you put out a children's book about the 6888, and it is available on your website. And I thank you so much for being a trendsetter and a trailblazer. And I am just so honored that you live in our community and we have a chance to support somebody local right here by picking this book up, putting it in our schools, our libraries, getting it for your children and grandchildren who need to see more diverse stories in their children's books and to be empowered by this. Dr. Tyna, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right. You have an amazing Saturday. And when we come back, I'm going to see if I can get Lindsay to get me Judy Seeberger on the phone because I want to continue to talk about.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV Plus.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carrie Dietzig and her legacy and her life, as she has passed away on Friday after a battle with cancer. We'll be back on the Shaletta Show. It is 2:24. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. I am continuing to talk about, to honor, to remember my friend, State Senate Majority Leader Carrie Dietzig. She passed away on Friday, but her legislation, her life, the things that she did for citizens in the great state of Minnesota, we will continue to feel the positive impacts of that. And I'm talking to Eric Escala, longtime political reporter. He is joining me courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Eric, thank you so much for taking my call and being available to me at the last minute. It's not lost on me that you've got other things to do, so I appreciate your time. But I want to remember Carrie Dietzig. You know, for me, she was a friend, but she was so much more than just a politician.
Well, there are at least two types of political people. There are show horses and workhorses, and she was clearly in the workhorse mode. You know, she was elected, I think, 2013, and then 10 years later, 23, she's been voted by her Democratic colleagues as the Senate Majority Leader. I don't think, Shaletta, she had even chaired a committee before in that 10-year period, but she was so respected by her colleagues, and she was not seen as someone who was going to try to get the spotlight for herself or try to use that as a platform for higher office. And she and Speaker Hortman and the governor charted, you know, whatever you think of what they did, they did a very ambitious set of laws and policies in 2023 and 2024, and she was pivotal in that. And after she was diagnosed with cancer, she didn't come to the Capitol but a couple times, but she did work on strategy and had phone calls and voted remotely, and but a terrific legislator and a hard worker. And she's going to be missed at the Capitol.
And, you know, her legislation and the things that she spearheaded for citizens here in the great state of Minnesota, we haven't even begun to see it all come out. She got legislation that starts on Monday where, you know, there's a law that insurance has to pay for wigs for cancer patients. I mean, and this hasn't even come out yet. It's just coming out on Monday.
Yeah, that starts on January 1st, right? One of the laws she passed after she became ill. You have to think that her family upbringing brought along some of her public service. Her dad, Walt Dietzig, was a Minneapolis police officer, former city council member, and a park board member. And he has passed away, but he instilled in her, I'm sure, a kind of an interest and a passion for public service. And one of the stories about her that people may not know is that she was the subject of a sexual harassment claim she made against Norm Green, who at the time was the owner of the North Stars. She had gone to work for him, and they settled out of court, as I remember. But that was one of the things that happened to her early in her career. She also worked, I think it was scheduling or some sort of office work for Senator Wellstone, and came back and ran for office in northeast Minneapolis there, and, you know, was an easy winner. It's a heavily Democratic district. But I think she'll be seen as a behind-the-scenes leader who, you know, did quite a bit, not flamboyant, kind of nose-to-the-grindstone type. So she may not get, you know, all the accolades of somebody that's a little more flamboyant, but she was very much a force at the Capitol.
And, you know, she did not just do things for people in her district. You know, I was telling Susan Kent, who was on the show earlier, how, you know, when my son was concerned about his younger brothers who have autism and at the time were nonverbal, and their interaction with police after Philando Castile died, he wrote a letter to the governor, and she got wind of it, and she brought Andrew up to the Capitol and in her office and chatted with him. And 4 years later, she's got autism officer legislation that attaches funding to train police officers about how to interact interact with people in autism. We live in Cottage Grove. That ain't nowhere near her. This was my first interaction with her. And this is before I'm Shaletta. I'm just a Cottage Grove stay-at-home mom. So she didn't do this because I was somebody. She had no idea who we were. But she saw my son's story and it resonated with her. You know, and I just have to ask, because you knew her a lot longer than me, was this just something that she did because she didn't have anything to gain?
Well, she was a public service in the grandest tradition, and I suppose if from that episode's first time I've ever heard of it, and I wonder if that's a great example of her kind of working behind the scenes, not stepping out to take credit, just getting the job done, and looking at herself as a state senator, not just a senator that represents part of Minneapolis. That was the kind of stuff she would do, and I think she really, and as Senate Majority Leader, of course, you are representing the whole state, and it fit into her philosophy, I'm sure. But she wasn't one to take a lot of spotlight. She wasn't one. She pushed others to the fore to get the credit. But again, just how effective she was as a tactician and as a leader. The Senate was 34-33, 34 Democrats, 33 Republicans. And she steered that ship into this very, very ambitious agenda that the Democrats had in 23 and 24. And just speaks again to her ability to bring people together and count the votes. And she did both of those things very, very well.
Okay, you have to tell me, what do you think she would be remembered for the most?
I think the 23-24 two-year session, where this unprecedented progressive agenda was passed on very narrow margins between Democrats and Republicans in the House and Senate, and she was one of the chief architects of that. And I think that will kind of be her legacy. And she did it under, you know, very stressful circumstances with an illness and so forth, and just in the business for the right reasons, I would say.
Yeah, and we are all the better because of it. Eric Escala, former WCCO radio superstar, thank you so much for being on the show and for helping me to remember my friend Carrie Dietzick, and to give me a little bit more insight on who she is. Because again, like you said, she was not one to toot her own horn, which is why I'm going to get her a billboard of some kind. I've got to call the Clear Channel people, because you know how I roll. We're going to get Carrie Dietzick a billboard, because she was never somebody to toot her own horn. But we should, in the great state of Minnesota, remember her for her legacy and her life and the benefits of her hard work and what she leaves behind. Thank you, Eric, for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Well, that's a righteous cause, Shaletta. Great to be with you as always.
All right. You all stick around. I'm going to try to see if we cannot get Judy Seeberger on the line to talk about Carrie Dietzick when we come back. Folks are messaging and texting, and the word is getting around that our beloved majority state senator, Carrie Dietzick, has passed away. My friend Carla Bingham, it writes on Facebook, there are certain people that come into your life and cross your path for a reason. Senator Carrie Dietzick was one of the hardest working legislators. She was the first one in office and the last one out nearly every day. Carrie was a brilliant political strategist who empowered others to get involved to accomplish their goals. She was empathetic and fair, a true leader in every aspect. That is from Washington County Commissioner Carla Bingham. Judy Seeberger, I am devastated by the loss of my colleague and friend Carrie Dietzick. She was truly one of a kind. She will be greatly missed. I saw that post. I was so moved by it. I asked in a comment on Facebook if Judy would join us, and she is here on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Judy, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, Ms. Shaletta, it is my pleasure.
When you heard the news, give me your reaction.
Oh my gosh. When I heard, my heart just dropped. It just fell. Carrie was phenomenal. We all knew she was ill, obviously. Her cancer was aggressive, but it was a truth and a reality I don't think any one of us wanted to face, and certainly not any news that we wanted to get today.
You are a state senator. having her there as your leader. At one point in time when we had the sweeping legislation where we restored voting rights to felons, and we provided meals for children and at schools, you know, those things that we did that made Minnesota, you know, get national attention. What was that like, knowing that she was battling cancer, knowing that she was coming in, knowing that she was sick and she still pressed on?
Carrie was amazing in that way. I think she was, during that session in 2023, I don't know if we all knew how sick she was, if she was letting on how bad things were, or maybe they weren't bad at that time, but I remember how hard she worked. We were all working hard, and she was, cancer diagnosis or not, she was, just like Commissioner Bingham said in her post, she was first one in, last one out, worked harder than I think anyone I've ever seen, particularly while she was battling cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, the way that she led by example, I was talking to Eric Escala and how she never took credit. She just got out there, got at it and did the work. I know for me, I could not be around her and not do more, not try harder. She was such an inspiration. What did it mean for you to have her pretty much right by your side? She's like a coworker. I mean, you know, you can't call a job as a senator a job, but it I mean, she's pretty much a coworker.
No, she was a coworker and a colleague, and she sat, I sat right in front of her on the floor, and, you know, I could lean back in my chair and talk to her, and I did that quite a lot. She was a fabulous coworker. She was a phenomenal leader, with a one-seat majority and a big incoming class of freshmen. She stepped into that role. She was a quiet and powerful leader, and she did so much to hold us together. I think every single one of us in the Senate, Republican, Democrat, every single one of us holds her and did hold her in the highest regard because of just her quiet, powerful presence and just the competency and the peace and the clarity and the leadership she brought. Really, I've never seen anyone quite like her.
And what will her legacy be as we will remember her for the days and weeks to come? What will you remember most about Senate Majority Leader Carrie Dietzick in her life and her career?
I'm going to remember Carrie as a genuinely good person. There's a lot of ego at the Capitol, there was no ego in her at all. She was there to do the best for as many people as she could. When she talked to you, she was listening, and she there was nothing. So there was no putting her before anything else. And I think that's really an example a lot of us can strive to live by and to achieve. She was really remarkable in that way. She was a genuine friend, along with being a phenomenal coworker. And I think that will be her legacy, kind of the quiet strength and real genuine personality that she brought to the Senate.
Well, you and I both know the role she played in making sure Black Entrepreneurs Day was a success. It is scheduled for February 3rd. I know you will be there. I know this is last minute and you got to plan stuff, but I would love it if you came and helped me to pay tribute by speaking at the event. And pay tribute to Carrie Dietzick, because if it wasn't for her, that event would never have happened. The governor would have never been there. She tricked him into being there. Like, she scheduled a meeting with Governor Tim Walz. And when she got to his office, she was like, come on, let's go. And he was like, where are we going? She said, we're going over to Shaletta Sting. And he was like, okay. And so he got up because the time was booked, and he came over to the Capitol Rotunda, and he spoke at Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Capitol. And that would never have happened if it wasn't for her. So I'm going to need you, and we're not going to cry. We're going to put our big girl panties on. We're going to put our big girl boots on. And on February 3rd, I'm going to need you by my side. We're going to have to hold each other up, because I want us to take a minute to honor Carrie Dietzick at at next year's event, because if it wasn't for her, that event would never have taken place.
I would be honored to stand by your side and do that. And that sounds just like Carrie, you know, under the radar, getting what needs to be done in the most creative and wonderful way possible.
And what he going to do once he get there? You know, she done tricked him. It's too late now. It's 400 black people looking at him. He got to get up there and talk. He didn't even have no speech or nothing. He thought he was just, she was like, we're going to Shaletta's thing. He was like, oh, okay, Shaletta's having a thing. Yeah, at the Capitol. Let's go. And he get over there. And I'm like, and Governor Tim Walz is here to say a few words. He like, okay, I am. All right, let's go.
That's a great story.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, so we're gonna have to honor her and thank God for her life. Okay, so I'm thinking about doing this. I just got the idea when I was talking to Eric Escala. I'm gonna go get a billboard and I'm gonna put her picture on it and I'm gonna say thank you for all you did to make Minnesota great again. And I'm gonna put it up there. I'm calling the Clear Channel Digital Billboard people first thing Monday morning, and I'm gonna get me a Carrie DC billboard from all of us. We just wanna say thank you. So look for that. Sometime Monday afternoon, we're going to get it all squared away. We're going to get it together. We're going to put it up, because she never got and asked for the credit that she deserved. We're going to make sure that we put her name up in lights.
That is lovely. Oh my gosh. Okay.
All right. Yes. We're going to get that. So don't drive off the road, girl. Be looking for it on Monday. We're going to get it all squared away. State Senator Judy C. Berger joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Shaletta.
All right, y'all stick around. We've got more to come. It is 2:51. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio. Talking to my friend Steve Thompson on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Oh, Steve, it's been a day. It's been a, I had to try to get through my show. I almost called you twice and asked you if you could come in early, because Carrie Dietzick and I were like, we were really close.
Yeah, it's such a tragedy when anybody dies young, and you know, the people that, you know, deal with illness like that and eventually pass, it's always very sad. And you know, by all accounts, great leader. I didn't know her, but by everything that I've read and heard, it sounds like she was well respected and well liked.
Yeah, and you know, I just think about how, you know, she didn't just help people in her district. She was just always there for anybody in need. And so, you know, I just needed to talk to some people about her today. Had to switch up the show around at the last minute. So Lindsay Brown, our new producer, did such a great job with this breaking news, because, you know, even though she is my friend, this was breaking news. This is a news story. It'll be on the front page of the Star Tribune tomorrow. We've got to cover it so that, you know, our newsroom has sound bites. So we brought in Eric Escala, Judy Seeberger, Susan Kent, and, you know, just rearranging the show. And Lindsay did an awesome job. Thank you so much, Lindsay, for the work you did behind the scenes to make sure that, you know, we were able to pay tribute and also get the information out to people. And as soon as we have, you know, funeral arrangements or any of that information about tributes, we'll be sure to pass that along to you. But, you know, I want to switch gears, Steve, and ask you how your Christmas was.
Yeah, good. We traveled. We had to go visit the in-laws in South Dakota, so we had a road trip. But I will tell you that, and with all due respect to the in-laws and my sister-in-law and brother-in-law and their families, it's great to see everybody. But I just love the road trip with my daughters, and 4 hours in the car to chit-chat and talk about a lot of different things and share a lot of laughs and complain a little bit, you know, talk about work and talk about life. But it's just such an enjoyable journey, because those kids, ever since they were born, have made that journey between Sioux Falls and the cities. And it's about 4 hours. And the route has changed from time to time over the years. But for the most part, ever since they were little, you know, newborns, we were driving. Now when both my daughters were young, we lived there and would drive to the cities to visit. But when Alan, my oldest, was getting ready to start kindergarten, we moved to the cities for good. And so we've been making the journey that way. But that's my favorite part, to spend that kind of quality time mm-hmm. in the car chatting. And I know you've traveled a lot with your family in the old RV and so on and so forth. I just love that time.
Yeah, it's something that you can't get back. It forces you guys to connect, to communicate. The world kind of stops
sure.
because, you know, even if you're at home, you've got the phone, you've got the TV, you've got the radio, you've got the devices. Somebody's always doing something. Somebody's always distracted. But when you're in that car and y'all are driving and y'all are laughing and talking, yeah. there's a connection that you can't get anywhere else. Love it. Okay. Now, speaking of cars, last week when we talked, I told you I had this great idea about how I was going to buy a van for a business owner whose van had broken down and she wasn't able to get her deliveries done. Guess what, Steve?
Well, I saw all the videos. I saw all the video. It turned out really great.
It was so amazing. But this is what I didn't know, Steve, is that apparently, like the commercials that they have on the TV where the person just drives the car to somebody's house and they got the big bow on it, that's a lie. You can't do that. So the person has to actually be in the dealership to sign paperwork. So I thought I was just going to go buy this van and put a big bow on it and drive it to their house. And they were like, no, that's not how it works. Don't watch those TV commercials. That's not true. So so that messed up that part of the plan. So I had to regroup. So what I did was I called Catherine and Jervis White and I said, listen, I want to treat y'all to dinner. Can y'all meet me? And I didn't tell them we were at Burnsville Motor. I just gave them the address. And they were like, wait, you live in Cottage Grove. We live in Newport. Why are we going all the way to Burnsville? I was like, oh, this is a great restaurant. You've got to try it. It's amazing. And so I just gave them the address. And so they drove up and I could see them outside circling like, this ain't no restaurant.
Yeah, ain't this no is
And so I had to literally run outside because it looked like they were leaving. So that's why on the video, you see me running, yelling surprise, because yeah. they were like, this girl done gave us the wrong address.
It is beautiful. And the joy on their face, you can't make that up. That is so wonderful.
And, you know, I just knew that when they walked in and they were crying and smiling and snotting, and I just knew that assignment complete. They got their van. They're able to go back and continue the deliveries of their sauces and spices and take care of their family and not have to worry about it. You know, as business owners, you know, we're just out here with a dollar and a dream trying to make it happen. And, you know, whatever we can do for someone else, especially in this season of giving to make their life better, you know, we need to just step out on faith and get it done. But I couldn't wait to tell you. I hate you saw it on social because I was hoping I was going to surprise you. God damn.
No. I was all over that when I saw it. I had to check out all the videos, and you know, just great work, Shalana.
Oh, thank you, man. And you got great work coming up because your show is next. What you got coming up?
Yeah, Doug will join us around the corner. We'll get folks all squared away in their computers, etc. And a little bit later on, we'll talk a lot of sports: Vikings, Packers, huge game tomorrow. Wild, a big win. Timberwolves got a win in Houston, that and so much more.
Y'all stick around. Don't go anywhere. Steve Thompson is coming up next. Happy New Year if I don't see you before 2025.